Good evening. Greetings in Jesus' name. As we sang that last song, I found myself in verse 3, it says, "For everyone whose feeblest touch thus met the Savior's power." And I feel like my thoughts were scattered. It seems like there's the gospel, there's so much there, and yet sometimes it's hard to find something to share about. And so I really don't know exactly what all is going to come out tonight, and I pray that God can speak to me and to us. I feel a very deep need in my own heart, and I was thinking that the power of the gospel is amazing. And often in my own heart, I lose that. You know, as we think of it, salvation and what God needs in His people. God doesn't need any physical capabilities. God doesn't need a man that is smart or well educated, although He can use those. It doesn't matter if I'm blind or can see. It doesn't matter if I'm skilled or unlearned. Salvation and the power of the gospel is available to each one of us, and that is incredible. And so God does not need me tonight to speak to His people. And yet, here I am, and I feel a little bit empty. But my thoughts were turning this afternoon. I was trying to think, come up with something, trying to find some scriptures. It seemed like it was coming hard. And I thought of our conscience. And I thought of how important it is that our conscience is working. And I thought of sin and the effect of sin. I thought of my conscience at rest or guilty. Or maybe it's quiet. The conscience is an amazing gift from God. It's that little voice inside of me that gives me a perception of what's right or wrong when no one else is there to tell me. It goes much deeper than the law or fear of punishment or reputation. It stirs up a sense of guilt within me when I have done wrong. There is a sense of clearing when wrongs are made right. It is something God very divinely placed within all men that gives us a point of reference for right and wrong. And I found myself recently at a place where I heard things and this or that happen, and I saw great men fall, and I began to wonder, what about me? How can I stay true and faithful? Thoughts were crossing my mind. If he can fall away, or if he can fall into sin, what about me? What is going to keep me? It has to be more than the law. It has to be more than a knowledge of right and wrong. And I don't know, I don't have all the answers, but I found a peace in one thing, and that is in accountability. I was thinking of that. But there is such a thing as training our conscience wrongly. And if God's Spirit is not influencing my life and my conscience, and slowly I begin to push things away, my conscience can be trained wrong. So what is our point of reference? What can we come back to? God's Word is here, and God's Word is sure and steadfast and unmovable. And there's many promises in the Bible. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you. And I think it's that finding that place where I am done with myself, continually coming before God in a broken and a contrite heart, saying, God, I'm yours. I cannot do this on my own. And I was thinking of sin, and I was thinking of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we need to take responsibility. We need to take ownership for God's Spirit. You know, as we pray in a setting like this, that God's Spirit would come into this place, how does it come? And I think God's Spirit comes into a place like this in my own heart. Where does God's Spirit dwell? Is it in the temple? Where is God's Spirit? Where does God dwell in our day? He dwells within our hearts. He dwells in a broken and a contrite heart. And I was thinking of the responsibility I carry to live a life free from sin. And when I come through those doors, God's Spirit is not in this room unless I bring it into this room. And sometimes we wonder, why is there conflict? Why are things not working? There's conflict in brothers' meetings, and there's conflict in church, and there's conflict between me and Dad. You know, God's Spirit and the spirit of Satan, they do not mix. And so equally, if this room is empty of people, and there's a man of God walks in, and I walk in with an evil spirit, there will be conflict. And I think of the Holy Spirit, and I think it's good to pray that God's presence is here. But let's take ownership of that thing. Because if we don't, God's Spirit won't be here. You know, we think of that day in the temple, when people were worshiping, and there's that great veil, and only the high priest could go in there once a year, and if I understand it right, they had a rope tied around his foot. In case he wasn't clear with God, he would fall over dead in the presence of God. And there was a day when people were in there worshiping, and that veil rent from top to bottom, and the holiest of holies was exposed. So what happened that day? Is God's Spirit now something that is just kind of free for all? We can all come? Absolutely not. God's Spirit left the temple that day. It wasn't there anymore. It is still the same intolerant of sin. Think about it. God's Spirit still, it still makes us guilty before Him if we have sin in our lives. I just, that thought struck me that day when that temple veil was rent. They couldn't just now go into the presence of God if they had a guilty conscience. If I go into the presence of God, if I try to pray, and if I try to do things, God's Spirit is still the same intolerant, and unless I deal with that, it will not be in my heart. I was thinking of sin in the church, and how if God's Spirit is here, and one person has sin in a body, there will be conflict. And you know, if you're here and there's sin in your life, there's a good chance you know what to do. There's probably a lot of excuses you can make. And the reality of it is, I cannot convince you to repent. And unless you open your heart to that conviction, and you allow God to cleanse your conscience, bring it back into perspective, and you repent before Him, you will stay in your sin. But I'd like for you, if you're in here and you're lost and you're guilty before God, and God's Spirit is not in your heart, I'd like for you to take just a moment and consider. Try to forget about me up here and think about God in heaven. And imagine yourself all alone. Your dad isn't around. No one is in your life to blame. You're all alone. Somewhere far away, suddenly, and you don't know where you're at. And all of a sudden it hits you that maybe my time on earth is over. And you begin seeing something that looks like the judgment seat. And there you are before a holy God. No more opportunities. No more chances to make things right. There's no one there to blame. How foolish you feel. Why? Why did I wait? And you know, this applies to people who are born again. This applies to me at times. That seed of bitterness. A little bit of unforgiveness. Something in there that is hindering my walk with God. That conscience in there that is working and it's bringing conviction. It's not worth hanging on to. I don't know. It seems like it's hard, very hard, to try to bring somebody to a place of repentance that doesn't want it. You know, I was thinking too of emotions. Sometimes preachers, when we share, sometimes, you know, at a revival meeting, a preacher There's a lot of emotion, and we're stirred up. And those are good things. God uses those. But I think we live in a day where conviction has gone, and to a large degree. And I would like for us to grasp the power of conviction. To get back to a day where a sinner repents because there's no other way out. Nobody is trying to convince him. Think of the powerful commitment of that young child laying in bed at night and he can't sleep. And he has to deal with it. And he gets up in the middle of the night and he goes and finds his parents. And God's Spirit comes. I don't know. I was born again through a revival meeting. So I'm not speaking against that at all. I'm not speaking against emotion or any of that. But I just, sometimes I wonder why there is not more of a sense and a longing for God. I think that commitments made in times of great emotion are very good, and it's a good start. But a commitment to faithfulness in a time when you're in your deepest, darkest hour, when it looks like there's no hope, when it looks like you're going to lose everything, you say, God, I will be true to Thee to the end. That is a commitment that will last. God made emotion, and it is a beautiful thing, and He uses it. But anyway, that's kind of off subject. But I would like for us to leave here and remember one thing, that we are responsible for carrying God's Spirit to the world around us. The people of this world will not find it in a temple. They will not be able to see God's Spirit at work necessarily in the great miracles or the parting of the Red Sea or things like that happen. But they will see God's Spirit at work in His people, in God's people. And it's our responsibility to be Jesus' hands and feet, that we carry forth the gospel clear and bright. I don't know if this made sense. I felt very scattered. But I think that there's probably a lot of reasons that conviction and conscience and all those words, just the awareness of sin in our lives is disappearing. We have an overwhelming amount of just information and a dumbing down of a moral decay in society and all around us. But we can be a people of God that is faithful and true to Him. And we can carry God's Spirit forth through all the world and be a bright and shining light. And we can be a people who love each other and who work through our differences in a Christ-like way. A people who are free from sin. And a people who are faithful till the end. And one day we can see Jesus. face to face and live with Him in eternity forever. What a beautiful thing that is. You know, one more comment about heaven. It's not the streets of gold or the mansions. That should catch our attention necessarily. But when we get to heaven, it'll be Jesus and God and His throne and the glory of Jesus filling that place that will capture our attention, and we will worship Him forever and ever for the rest of eternity. God bless you.